This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am so happy to be with you today. I really am. I'm reminded of that beautiful, beautiful little refrain that is part of a song, but really comes from sacred scripture. And we often use it, you know, in the responsorial psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And the passage that keeps coming to my mind for all too many reasons is one that we heard just this past weekend. Actually Sunday at Mass. And, you know, Paul's there and he's got this thorn in the side, and he talks with God about it. And the Father says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for in your weakness you are made strong. So whatever is going on in your life today, the good news is that God is all about it. He knows about it, and he's heaping abundant blessings on you as a result of it. Two more passages came, and this is neat. You know, sometimes you just open sacred scripture and God gives you a word. And I shared this with my producer, Jeff Burson, right before we went on the air today, as he was reminding me of that passage from Sunday's readings. And here, this is from Job 42. And it says this: "Then Job answered the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted.'" Isn't that an interesting statement? Isn't that an interesting passage? Doesn't it just fill your heart and your mind with questions to ask and ponderings to be explored? It does for me. And I got to tell you, I don't know that I ever really saw that particular passage in scripture. And maybe you've had that experience too, you know, where you read a passage, but, you know, and you read it, but it's not registering with you. And I think that that's one of two reasons sometimes we're not really acutely present, because, you know, we get distracted. But I think also there's more to it than that. Maybe that passage isn't for us on that day that we're reading it. And then later on, we come back and we see it again. And my goodness, it speaks volumes to us. And of course, we know that every word of sacred scripture is inspired by God. So every word carries meaning and weight and value for us. It's just that there is a time. You know, we read in Ecclesiastes or Ecclesiasticus? I always get it mixed up. That there's a season for everything. There's a time for everything under the heavens, right? So God, in his mercy and kindness, at the moment when that passage is going to speak to us, makes it present to us. And we see it maybe in a whole new way. Maybe there's a whole new kind of expression of it that comes our way through it and by it and for it. But maybe our hearts have been prepared to receive it. Sometimes it's just the word that we need to hear. And this one is a really good word for me today. I know that you can do all things. And the question that I ask myself, and maybe you need to ask yourself, is, do I really believe that? You know, to what extent do I give myself over to this reality that God, you know, in his divine providence and in his omnipotence, is able to do all things? Do we truly believe that? And if we really do believe that, then we can invest ourselves in that. Right? We through an act of the will say, okay, not only do I recognize this, not only do I, you know, read this, but I truly believe it, and I'm going to give myself over to it. I'm just going to tell you, Lord, I'm surrendering to this word, and I want this word to be effective in me, and I want this word to take root in me, and I want for this word to begin a process in me, a process of deepening, a process of an expansion of my faith and a fortification of my faith, a real strengthening in you. And I'm saying that now, and maybe you need to say it too. It's really great. Job says, I know that you can do all things. And here's the next part: and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Well, once we realize and understand that this God of ours is a God who loves us, this God of ours is goodness. He is goodness. You want to know what goodness is? You look at God, and you look at the attributes of God, and you look at what sacred scripture tells us about God, and you look at how it is that Jesus reveals the Father to us. And when we see that, you know, we recognize and realize that this God is all about the ultimate for us, the best for us. No matter what the vicissitudes of life are, no matter what the brokenness of the world is, no matter the malfaction of the world, no matter the histrionics of this day and time in which we live, no matter the pain that we've suffered, no matter the travail of others, no matter all of the wrong things that go on in this world and all of the things that are bad and hateful and awful, this God of ours has purpose, and he will work purpose out of it, and his purpose will not be thwarted, and his purpose is always for the good. But for us to see the good, for us to realize the good, then we have got to cooperate with that grace that comes to us in the sufficiency that is infinitude. My grace is sufficient for you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God is infinitude. So when he talks about sufficiency, he's talking about infinitude of grace, not just a meeting out of a wee bit. You know, we don't have a stingy God. We have a God of generosity. We don't have a selfish God. We have a selfless God who gives himself to us, not only in the flesh, not only in the sacrificial offering on Calvary, but gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the representation of his love, the representation of the gift of his own life, the representation of the sign of the Father's love for us, right? And so when we cooperate with that grace that is infinitude, God's sufficiency, then we begin to see with new eyes, and we begin to see that God does have purpose and meaning and value. It isn't for us to rail the fist. It is for us to dig deeper and for us to discover and for us to sit there and let God work it out in us. And the working out that God does is the working unto his glory, that we might taste that glory and know that glory in the present moment. And so those are very, very good words. And there's more. There's more to share, but I should give you a number. I just went out of the gate like a racehorse this morning. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986 is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. 833-288-EWTN. You can also reach us if you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. That is the way that you can reach us outside of North America. And no matter where you are on the planet, you can join us via cyberspace. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is there for you. The chat feature permits you to submit your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement. And if you're out there on YouTube and Facebook, well, my goodness sakes, there I am, and I'm waving to you right now. But there's more, and I want to get back to the more because I'm very excited about this. And this comes from this beautiful apostolic letter of John Paul II. I love this. This has spoken volumes to me in my life. It's something to return to and dip into, just because it is so rich, not only with teaching, but with inspiration. And there's such an anointing upon this work. Oh my goodness, you can feel the grace pouring out from every word. On the Christian meaning of human suffering. Salvavici Doloris is the Latin. On the Christian meaning of meaning of human suffering. And this is in the fifth section, and it's sharers in the suffering of Christ. Now listen to this. This is just, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. And he's talking about the passage that comes to us where it's talking about the suffering servant in sacred scripture, the song of the suffering servant. And he continues with that theme here. And he says, the same song of the suffering servant in the book of Isaiah leads us through the following verses precisely in the direction of this question and answer. And the question has to do with what is the purpose and the meaning of suffering. And he says, and he quotes this from Isaiah. When he makes himself an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, yesterday we were talking about this notion of intercession, and we were talking about being baptized into the mystical body of Christ and sharing in that Paschal mystery, the passion, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a certain way elevates us to a new status. Well, it's not in a certain way, it's scriptural. We become co-heirs with Christ Jesus, co-heirs to all of the benefaction of the Father, co-heirs to all of what eternal life holds out for us, but co-heirs also to the work of the one who is our Savior, our Redeemer, to the work of the one whose own suffering obtains salvation for us. So we participate in that too. So when we read these words of the suffering servant, we should also remember that in a way, planned only by God, in a way known only to God, in a way that comes through his omnipotence and his omniscience, and in a way that comes through his omnipresence, God with us, you know, we have opportunity in the midst of everything to be this sign of contradiction, as was our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, and through all of the suffering and the pain and the reversal and the trial and all that mess that is life in this fallen and broken world, we have the opportunity to be about the process of salvation and redemption for others. So we should read these words about ourselves. Maybe sometimes this song of the suffering of Christ, this song of the suffering servant, you know, it just typifies you. You know, maybe it does. And maybe you just feel like it's heap upon heap upon heap upon heap. Like one, you're like one of those little punching bags, the bottom of which is filled with sand. And boom, a pile comes at you, you know, and you go down, but you pop right back up again. And boom, another one comes and you go down, but you pop right up again. That may be the case. But that popping up is a sign of God with you. And God gives you the strength not just to endure, but to embrace. And when we embrace, as Jesus embraced his cross, oh my goodness, great things happen. And there's promise in that. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So, good words today. Happy I came upon them. It's just, you know, it's just beautiful. Then the Holy Father says this: in the cross of Christ, not only is the redemption accomplished through suffering. Now listen to that. In the cross of Christ, not only is the redemption accomplished through suffering, but also human suffering itself has been redeemed. Human suffering has been redeemed. He goes on and says, every man has his own share in the redemption. Each one is also called to share in that suffering through which the redemption was accomplished. He is called to share in that suffering through which all human suffering has also been redeemed. In bringing about the redemption through suffering, Christ has also raised human suffering to the level of the redemption. You see, we get ratcheted, our suffering gets ratcheted up, and we get ratcheted up with it. It has the capacity to make us another Christ in the very situation that we are facing. It's really remarkable. It can only be a God that could do such a thing. And what an absolutely tremendously good God can take that which is meant to destroy us and make it something that sanctifies us instead. And not only us, but this God who always works for the many, sanctify others as well. You know, this is the providence of God. You know, this is his mercy at work. This is the way that we gain all that God desires for us to know, all that he hopes for us. It's really quite amazing and quite beautiful. And I'm going to close on this because I've chatted on and on here. But just listen to the beauty of these words. And you remember just a moment ago, I said that these words are inspired words. And, you know, they're words that carry an anointing with them. And it would be my prayer, Father God, that as we hear these words, which I am about to read and proclaim, that they would heap an abundance of anointing upon us. That they would be replete, just replete, with the reality of your divine life, and we might be favored as a result of them. John Paul writes, The eloquence of the cross and death is completed by the eloquence of the resurrection. Those are words that hold out not only a promise to us, but a certainty. That when we let the cross sing in our soul, we will experience the beautiful melody of the resurrection. So take heart, dear soul. Why are you so downcast? God has great, great blessing for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're available for you. Go into those phone lines when we come back, inviting you to use that toll-free number right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. Yep, we're available for you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And I, Janet Williams, am eager to hear from you. So let's get about that break so we can come right back and, yeah, get the conversation going. Stay with us.
Mother Angelica.
We have to get back into our hearts and minds the value of life. If you don't care about the unborn, I don't think you're going to care about the elderly.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
July 10th. Blessed Baptista Varano said, "You must act wisely and prudently. Do not follow the foolish, but in every action, easy or difficult, keep your sight fixed on God, sanctifying your intention and enduring every adversity patiently for the love of God." Let us reflect. What advice does Blessed Baptista Varano give to help prevent me from making mistakes in judgment? To what extent am I willing to heed this advice? Jesus, give me the grace that I need.
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
Have you heard who's reading the Register? Why, it's Marcus Groda.
I believe EWTN's National Catholic Register is unique from other newspapers in that it not only is committed to reporting the news from the world and the church and our faith, but it does so through the lens of the faithfulness of our Catholic Church.
For a 3-month free subscription to the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 3 months free banner or call 1-800-421-3230.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. We're really happy to be with you today, eager to hear from you. Going to give you those numbers again so you can join us. We've got Matt Gubinski. He is call screening for us today, 833-288-EWTN. That's toll-free right here in North America. 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. We can chit-chat about whatever is going on in your life today. Yes, indeed, or whatever is going on in the world. We also are available for you out there on social media. Social media manager Jeff Burson gets all of your info up on the screen for me here so that I can take your questions. And we invite you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're there for you. If you're outside of North America, 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985. We invite you to call. We push you right to the front of the line, of course, because you're calling from a distance. So we try to get you on there in a very timely fashion. Additionally, you can text EWTN. You can text EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Put in your name, where you're calling from, and your question, and boom, we get it right here. So we invite you to do that. course, texting rates may apply for you depending upon what plan you might have. So let's get right to those beautiful phone calls. Do want to remind you first, though, that Cresta in the Afternoon is on today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Yes, he is. So you're not going to want to miss Cresta in the Afternoon. Be sure to keep your dial tuned to, or your phone, or however it is that you listen to us, to EWTN Radio, Cresta in the Afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. He is with you all through the weekdays. Let's get to Maria. She's out there in Alpharetta, Georgia. Good morning, Maria. How are you, honey?
Good morning, and it is great to have to be here, actually to be in here listening to you. I love your the way you speak and you pray.
Oh, well, may God be praised for that. We're happy you're with us, too. So what's going on?
Well, I wanted to ask for a special prayer for the country of Nicaragua, especially the people and the priests, God's shepherds. The country, well, the Nicaraguan people have been brutally repressed by their government. Yes. Government hires thugs, accompanied by the police forces, are attacking and killing peaceful, unarmed civilian protesters. Mm-hmm. Children, whatever they can, they Amnesty International has called it the shoot-to-kill strategy by the government. And what it's just heartbroken to see. The Catholic bishops and the priests have stood in front of firing of firearms, trying to protect their people. Priests have been wounded. Churches have been ransacked. And our dear Lord, our host, have been taken. All this has been done to intimidate the brave bishops who have stood up against the repression. Mm-hmm. And it's just heartbroken. It breaks my heart. But in all this, what rings the bell is when you said the Christian, the meaning of human suffering, reunited to Christ. Regardless of how this breaks my heart, it inflames my heart as well to see how the Nicaraguan people have joined together in solidarity, and they're singing, chanting to Our Lady, saying that their weapons, their only weapon is the rosary, and they are unarmed and willing to risk their lives. They're in prayer, and these people are fighting, and just seeing the shepherds, our Lord's shepherds, standing up and how they're uniting the whole country, it's just amazing and amazing to watch. There is the example of God. Yes, they are suffering. They're being persecuted. They are being, those who whose only crime was to have participated in peaceful protests have been illegally put in, tortured or put in prisons. But you see the Church of God standing up and defending the people. And you see people praying on the streets, kneeling down as priests have taken to the streets with the Eucharist, marching to defend. And this has happened twice around one of the cities that has mostly been attacked. And mm-hmm. This is an example. And I just want prayer. The bishops have called for fasting and prayer to not only the country of Nicaragua, but to the whole world. And I'm asking for prayer.
Yes,
and I know
Maria.
This is in God's will.
Yes, Maria.
Whatever he...
We have seen in this 21st century, we have seen such, what is the word to say, barbarism is the only word that I can think of. We have watched and witnessed such oppression and such vile treatment of people of faith in numbers of ways. And when we witness this kind of atrocity being committed against those who are brothers and sisters with us in this mystical body of Christ, we all ache. We all bear it. We all feel it. And sometimes we don't necessarily feel it in the same way, but there is a type of oppression that hangs over the whole of the mystical body when one part of the body is suffering. And what do we do? You know, I mean, if you think about the human body, if there's an infection in the human body, other parts of the body will respond and will try to fight that infection. And we're called to fight this infection of atrocity, of barbarism, in the way that God has outlined for us. And you've stated it. And we have to stand in solidarity with them in the way in which we can do it. And the way in which we can do it is through prayer, is through fasting, It's through picking up that rosary into our own hands and offering it on behalf of our suffering brothers and sisters who, with an incredible outpouring of God's grace that they receive and walk in, are making witness for us. And, you know, I was so reminded as you were talking about the numbers of people that have suffered this kind of atrocity in the past and continue to be underneath these kinds of regimes, and in a certain way, this is the pouring out of the blood of Christ for us today, and we should see it that way. For those who are standing in protection of their flock, for these bishops, for these priests, for these people that are making peaceful protest at the risk of their lives, for the ones that are on their knees beseeching the heavenlies for God's grace to come, for those who are crying out to Our Lady for her succor, for her solace, for her holy intercession and beatitude to be theirs. These people, these individuals, these ones become for us the witnesses of the faith. They become for us the martyrs of our day and time that are leading us and guiding us and showing us. And I know because of their sacrifice, pulling down from heaven abundant graces on the rest of the church. There's that adage that comes from one of the doctors of the church, one of the early fathers of the church, that says, you know, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of faith. I forget who said that. But the fact of the matter is, this is true. And I think about John Paul II. We were reading from that beautiful apostolic letter on human suffering, on the Christian meaning of human suffering. And we were reading about the redemptive value of that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, these people are not suffering in vain. You know, they are not suffering in vain. And they are winning for us abundance of blessings that we then need to return for them. So I thank you for your call. I thank you for your heartfelt plea. It's outrageously important for us never to forget those who are being persecuted in our midst right now. And thanking and praising God for that sign, for that witness that will only in the end enhance the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need that today. So Maria, thank you for your call, dear, and be assured of our continued prayers. And, you know, friends, why don't we just in this moment, I just think it would be right and proper for us to join together with our sister Maria, whose heart is so heavy with this. The burden of it is obvious. And let us just come together for all of those that are suffering in Nicaragua, but in any part of the world, for the sake of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, Father God, we do come before you. We offer our prayer on behalf of all of those who are experiencing the scourge of others, the oppression, the atrocity, the barbarism, the hate, the ridicule, the mockery, the scorn, the ill treatment, the affronts to the dignity of who they are in you. We offer reparation for the sacrilegious actions against our holy places, our churches, our sanctuaries, against the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ itself. We stand in the gap right now, Lord, making intercession for all of this. And we turn now to our Blessed Lady, who desires to mother her people through all of life's circumstances, especially in these horrific moments. We call upon St. Stephen, first martyr. St. Stephen, you saw the glory of God being revealed in the midst of your persecution. Your eyes were fixed on heaven, and the blessings were yours in the midst of it all. And you called down through your own suffering and union with Christ abundant blessings upon that nascent early church. And so we stand now, too, in that same place for the beleaguered church in our day and time, as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, Mother, now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. Maria, thank you for your call, friends. We are with you today, Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. We're here for you. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
It's July 10th, and today the church honors Saint Almelberga. Three of her children are also saints. When the youngest child was grown, Almelberga and her husband both retired to monasteries to lead lives of sacrifice and prayer. She died in 690 AD. It's also the feast of Saint Veronica Giuliani. In 1694, she received the stigmata, indicating wounds from the crown of thorns. Medical treatment failed to ease her pain, which she offered up for the salvation of souls.
Father Larry Richards.
God doesn't need you to sit there and protect him. If you receive communion unworthily, it says you could be sick or die. But we don't have to protect Almighty God. So God can protect himself. So he knows that man's heart. And if he's not in a state of grace, that communion can become the bread of death to him. You don't need to do that. God can take care of himself.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
And this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I'm Doug Keck, your host. I just finished interviewing Colleen C. Mitchell on Bookmark on her latest book, Who Does He Say You Are?, published by Franciscan Media, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. So tell us, Colleen, what's this book about?
It is a scriptural walk through Jesus' encounters with 12 women in the Gospels that allows Catholic women, Christian women to look at the question of who Jesus says we are, what our identity is in him, and grow from wherever we are in our faith into a deeper understanding and a deeper intimacy of who we are in Christ and the relationship he desires to have for us. And so this is an example of how women found new life in him so that we can follow them into that new life.
Right, and our Lord wants that for all of us. Okay, very good. Colleen C. Mitchell, author of Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Gospels, published by Franciscan Media, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Thanks.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There's only one show for non-Catholics, Called to Communion, coming up this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now back to Women of Grace with Johnette Benkovic-Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. We just had Maria on the line. We were praying for all of those that are being persecuted in Nicaragua for the sake of the faith. We stand in solidarity with them. I'm going to ask you, we pray to Hail Mary together, but I'm going to ask you, please tuck Maria's request into your rosary today and, you know, every day. Why not? We need to be in solidarity with them. I was thinking about the fact, you know, that these kinds of sufferings, these kinds of mortifications, these kinds of atrocities come upon people, right? And so these individuals who are making intercession the way of their suffering, or making suffering the way of their intercession, that are caught up in this struggle, you know, are taking what God's entrusted to them and using it to the best possible way that they can. We too can suffer in union with them through an act of mortification. And Maria mentioned, you know, fasting, prayer, all of these means, you know. So if a little contradiction comes up today, a little humiliation, you know, visits you, you know, a little disappointment comes, you stub your toe, your car doesn't work, I don't care what it is, a major situation occurs, why not make that an act of solidarity by offering it up to God for the very request that Maria gave to us today. So once again, Maria, thank you very much for your call. Friends, we do welcome you to call us here. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number right here in North America. 833-288-3986. We've got a phone line or two open for you. We're going to get to the phones in just a minute, but I do want to remind you of something. I do want to remind you that our Women of Grace retreat is coming up this weekend. Yes, it really is. I can't believe it. It begins this Friday and it runs through Sunday afternoon, right around noonish. We generally end up with Mass. So we certainly do hope that you will come. Now, I do have to tell you, I got the numbers. I checked the numbers right before we went on the air, and we really are just about maxed out. And as a matter of fact, by the time the program's over, we could be. So, you know, if you want to come, I'm going to really encourage you to give a call. I mean, I think as a matter of fact, I think that we're there. But I would call anyway because we're going to stop doing registrations that way today. After that, it's going to be on site if there's any spaces available at all, which I don't think there's going to be. Like we've got five or something, six tops here. So please get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Take a look at that. We invite you also to join us for the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar. That is available for you, and you can check that out too. We are over the number that we generally allow for that, but the topic is so very important, and Kathleen Beckman is going to be presenting on why woman is God's weapon for the evil of our day and time. I just don't want anybody to miss out on that. So, you know, we'll take a few more of you if you still want to come. So get out there to womenofgrace.com and check that out. Want to remind you too about the Young Women of Grace track. We've got room for girls there. We invite you to check that out on our site too and just get about the business of joining us. It's going to be absolutely terrific. Absolutely terrific. We've got Kim with us. She is in St. Clair, Minnesota this morning. Let's get to Kim. She's listening via Sirius XM 130. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing very well today. Yesterday, not so much.
Okay.
But today, very well.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Kim.
I just wanted to share with you, I am an ovarian cancer warrior. They check me every 3 to 6 months to make sure my nemesis is in check. Yesterday was our MRI, and I've been battling ovarian since 2005.
Oh my goodness, Kim!
I'm BRCA1 and BRCA2 positive, so it's in my genes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nervous talking to you, and I feel you like you're a girlfriend.
Oh.
So I don't know why I'm nervous.
I don't know why either. I love you. We love our listeners so much. You bring tears. Kim, you bring tears to my eyes.
Oh, bless you. Yesterday was the MRI. Two nurses tried three times and blew out three veins, not because they were doing anything wrong, just because that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a young lady came in from the MRI suite, and she tried up farther in my arm in a deeper vein. And I was saying the Hail Mary, and after she got in without any pain, she said to me, "I just want to let you know that I was talking to my uncle while I was doing this, and I heard you pray. My uncle passed 2 months ago, and he was a Catholic priest."
Oh, my goodness, Kim.
So the Lord's with me on this journey, and we've been battling for a long time, but I offer everything up to him. It's because of Jesus that I'm still here with my family, and I'm going to also offer my rosaries up for Maria and our persecuted brothers and sisters. I'm going to say goodbye now and just wanted to share that with you.
Kim, thank you so much. You know, this call and you would be what I would consider to be the ultimate witness of why Catholic radio and all that EWTN does is so outrageously important. To hear you talk about the way in which since 2005 you've suffered this battle and have remained strong and steadfast, your faith increasing, and your spiritual vision of the value of the suffering that God's entrusted to you for the sake of his body, the church, is astounding. And you obviously make use of every opportunity. You're sharing about the needle prick yesterday and the location of the vein, and your witness to this nurse, and the opportunity to share a blessed moment together, realizing that both of your prayers were answered, just lifts us out of whatever kind of depressed state or feeling of oppression that might be going on in our lives. And I'm just so grateful for you and for our brothers and sisters in Christ that have learned this great lesson of redemptive suffering, and not only have learned it, but live it so well and in such an exemplary fashion. It becomes for us something to hold on to that edifies us and builds us up and helps us all to continue to move forward on that path, which is entrusted to each one of us in numerous and different ways, but always takes us to the cross of Christ that we might experience, as John Paul II says, the eloquence of the resurrection. I think that when we someday arrive, you know, in heaven, and we see how many people are blessed by the sufferings of others, you know, by our own sufferings, we're going to be amazed. And the thought occurs to me, too, that when we get to heaven, you know, I think that through the omniscient gaze of God that we will participate in, we will be able to see the faces and know the souls of those individuals whose suffering in that moment God took through the hands of Our Lady and applied directly to us. And so, you know, we will be able to rejoice in the great gift and sacrifice that's been made on our behalf. So thank you, Kim. And we're going to keep you in our prayers. I'm tucking you in, baby.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
God bless you, Kim.
Bye-bye.
Let us hear back from you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye now. Two beautiful calls, right? I mean, oh my goodness. Yikes. I just thank and praise God. I really do. Thank you, Jesus, for Kim. Thank you for Maria. And thank you for Frank, who is with us too. And so let's go to Frank. He's calling us from Auburn, New York today, listening to us via Station of the Cross. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Jeanette. My interest in this call is that many people turn to sorcery, witchcraft, occult, to deal with their sufferings. And I've been studying Eucharistic miracles, and many of them begin with a woman being suffering in her marriage,
right,
turning to a witch for solutions. And I see that in the New Age movement today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are seeking out answers to their problems or their sufferings, and they're going in the wrong direction.
That's right.
And very little is being said about this, that the occult in the New Age movement is connected to the devil, who will, you know, turn our sufferings into even greater sufferings by accepting, you know, his choices of who we seek out versus Christ, the Eucharist, where Christ could be united with our sufferings, and we united with him and go that route.
Mm-hmm.
But so I wanted you to comment on that, because I know you've written some books on the New Age and the occult.
Yeah. Frank, thank you very much. You know, here we've had these two beautiful calls, right? And we see, especially in that second call, and we've heard a personal witness of someone who is taking all of these sufferings and, you know, investing herself in the knowledge that God uses all things and works all things to the good, and has not gone and sought out other means to procure some kind of a healing that would lead her into occult pathways. And I think that one of the reasons why so very frequently people will turn to occult, to the occult for answers to problems, or even you know, psychic healing, or any of these other means, even in suffering and grief, to try through some kind of occult power to speak with their deceased loved ones, is because we truly don't understand suffering. We don't understand this baptism into Christ Jesus, and we don't understand how it is that we can affect in union with Him and the will of the Father, tremendous things for the sake of the world and the sake of the body of Christ here on earth, as well as for the holy souls in purgatory. And, you know, what we do need, I believe, is more teaching on this. You know, a deeper understanding and appreciation. And then we won't turn to these evil ways of trying to resolve life's difficulties and problems. We are never going to attain anything good from the occult. We have to remember that Satan is a great counterfeiter. And Satan does have power. There's no question about it. When the angels fell from the heavenlies because they rebelled against God, basically rebelled against our Blessed Lady. If you read Revelation 7, you'll see that what caused the uproar was when God revealed His plan to them and they saw the woman, clothed with the sun, you know, and 12 stars, 12 diadems upon her head. It was when they saw that and God revealed to them, and this is the, comes to us from many of the teachings of the church, as well as from St. Maximilian Kolbe and others. You know, they rebelled against this notion. Lucifer rebelled against this notion of being less than the one whom this woman would bring. And so he began to war against God's plan, inclusive of the woman and her son. When they fell from heaven, the point that I'm trying to make here is, you know, they were banished, but God never takes back His gifts. They fell with the powers that they had in heaven. Now, Lucifer, one of the brightest of all, most likely a seraphim, was gifted in many ways. And so those powers remain, but now they're used for evil. However, all of that being said, nothing trumps the power of God. He is the only omnipotent one. He is the only all-powerful one. But God will take the machinations of the evil one and work them to His good. The problem is work them to the good for the body of the church. But the problem is we can get tripped up. You know, he can, because he has gifts and he will counterfeit the very gifts of God and use them for nefarious purposes. You know, we can become dazzled by the brilliance of what he shows to us, the allure of it all. It's what he did to Eve in the garden. He seduced her. He seduced her and he deluded her and he deceived her and she became a pawn in his hands and, led her husband into perdition. And therefore, we all suffer from the effects of that sin. God works good out of that, too, though, because that is the opportunity for the one to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. The woman's heel smashes the head of the serpent, crushes the head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there will never be a good that comes from this counterfeiting of the gifts and the powers of Satan. It cannot. I remember years ago, I was up in the Northeast somewhere at an event, and this woman came, and she looked like she had been battling disease for a long time, and she had a leather pouch around her neck, and she had crystals in it. And she came up to me and she said she had been suffering and blah, 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 blah. And I asked her, well, what is that about your neck? I knew full well what it was, but I wanted her to tell me. And she says, well, these are crystals. And she says, they procured healing for me in the past. And I said, and how did that work out for you? She says, well, I was healed for a while from the only disease I was suffering from. And she says, but now I have a multitude of diseases. And I said, well, what you need to do is to get rid of those crystals and you need to get delivered. Because you know, it says that one might be banished, but seven more will come back in its place, right? And so this is what he does. He counterfeits and he deceives and yeah, he'll give us the taste of healing, or he'll give us the sense of what it is that we're looking for. He will appeal to us in that way, but then oh boy, the curtain drops and we see the one who's been the player behind that screen, and we see what he's been up to. And sometimes by then we find ourselves in very, very difficult straits. So yeah. So how do we turn to God instead of the occult? We do it by doing it. We do it by resisting the temptation. We do it by using the words of Jesus, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We do it by falling on our knees every single time we feel tempted in that way. Every single time one of those despicable creatures comes around our path and tries to incite into our mind some kind of hatred and displeasure with God. We do it by doing it, Frank, and that's the only way we do it. And it says in Scripture, resist the devil and he will flee, but it doesn't mean he's going to flee without a struggle. He's going to struggle against us, but we become very adept at recognizing his strategies, and we catch ourselves very quickly, and eventually he gives up. He might try another tactic in the future, but he gives up on that one. So thanks for your call, Frank. You know, again, I just can't recommend this letter of John Paul II's highly enough on the Christian meaning of human suffering. Read it and pray it. It is anointed, and it brings to us, you know, a peace that surpasses understanding and helps for us to understand how to fight that good fight. God bless you. Thanks so much, Frank. We're going to go to who is next here? We're going to go to Dino. He is calling us from Michigan this morning. Hey, Dino, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking.
I heard Frank talk about the New Age, and me and my wife have been married for over 20 years, mm-hmm. and we've always went to church, prayed the rosary, the Divine Mercy, you know. But the last few years, my wife, she gave her life to Jesus in a more profound way, and it was like a blessing, but I guess she expected something back from it. What she expected, I don't know. I don't know if it was maybe like material things or more wealth, or I don't know. But in turn, for her to get closer to God, she became further, and she started believing and doing this crystals and New Age. And it's sending her a lot of pain because there's an emptiness in her. And she, as much pain as she's receiving, she still believes that God is not the answer. Mm. I became even more stronger towards the faith and going to Mass and praying more. And she sees that. And now she's at a point now where she's saying, you're believing in God and you're not trusting in me, that then go to your God, your evil God, and I'm leaving you. So she's putting so much faith into this crystals that she wants to, like, literally give up because she thinks that there's more, like, the grass is greener on the other side, and it's not like that. And what hurts me the most is that she believes so strongly in this crystals and these words and feng shui and all this stuff that she's willing to give up her marriage.
Yes.
And we've been married for 20 years. It's been a beautiful marriage. We have two kids and everything. But as soon as I put, like, if I do the sign of the cross, I have to take religious pictures down in my house. I can't say anything about God in front of her.
We're running close on time, and I want to be able to voice a response to you. First of all, I'm so sad that this has happened, and I am so sorry that you're experiencing such spiritual travail in your own home. And I think, of course, your continued steadfastness is the only antidote. But here's the reality. What you are portraying here through your own life experience is exactly what happens. When we turn to the occult and we become beholden to it, the Holy Spirit has no room within us because we've crowded him out. And so therefore the emptiness that you see in her, and even the meanness that you're experiencing, comes from the fact that the Spirit of God is not there. And this is something that we all need to know. When we persist in evil ways, no matter what the evil might be, we eventually crowd God out. He will not stay where he is not welcomed. And so, Once the Spirit of God is no longer operative within us, we are left seriously to our own devices. And her device here is to turn to these things, which are bringing her misery and pain and suffering and causing tremendous instability in your marriage, and I'm sure chaos in many ways in your family life, but she's not connected those dots. So you need to continue to pray the rosary, but we also need to do one other thing. We need to realize and recognize that her objection to religious objects, to your sign of the cross, to your prayers, to all of those things, is further manifestation of where she is. So I would go through your home with blessed salt, holy water. I would place miraculous metals in inconspicuous places and all of these things for the sake of your home. And let's see what happens. It'll get worse before it gets better, and I've got to leave it there. Friends, thank you for being with us today. God bless you now. Bye-bye.